What's happening, Polite Society? I hope you're having a good week. If you're here for the first time, welcome to my channel. I'm Alan. You may have decided to watch this video because of the thumbnail title. So here are some preliminary thoughts. First, when I make the somewhat bold and nowadays for many shocking claim that I believe that career women and girl bosses are headed to eternal ruin, I'm not talking about women who are forced to work in order to feed either themselves or their families. Second, I am not talking about women who have searched for a godly husband for many years and have been unsuccessful. Although here I will note, as I have in recent videos, that there are many prideful and arrogant women in the church who repeatedly turn down good Christian men, and thus remain single and childless into their 30s, 40s, and beyond. That's actually a different subject for another video. For our purposes in this video, the women who are the focus are the disciples and daughters of Betty Friedan, who in her book, The Feminine Mystique, challenged the view that women could find their fulfillment as women through their duties as housewives, housemothers, and household managers. I'm talking about women who, since they were teenagers, dreamed of having careers and, when they became young women, prioritized that goal over and against being wives and mothers. Of course, what matters is what the scriptures have to say about these types of women. True Christians sometimes disagree with one another. We disagree on the proper subjects of baptism, its mode, and how much water should be used. We disagree about whether the beast is Nero or a coming evil world dictator. But matters such as these, for the most part, fall under the category of adiaphora and are not essential to eternal salvation. However, when we talk about who God is, who Christ is, and what the gospel is, those are matters that are essential to redemption, and therefore we need to get the verses and passages which deal with them correctly. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe ego I me, you will die in your sins." And in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul writes that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll get back to this verse later, but authentic Christians would agree that believing that Jesus Christ is divine is essential to salvation, and that those who engage in sin in a serial and impenitent fashion, as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 6, will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are essential and core texts related to salvation, as is the verse we will be examining in this video, so we must get it right. In 1 Timothy 2:15, Paul writes that women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. Perhaps this is a verse you have never really thought of. Well, it is one of critical importance and will be the focal point of this video. To properly arrive at Paul's meaning and intention in this verse, we need to understand the passage as a whole. So through the aid of trained teachers, I will do my best to walk you through it. After instructing believers to pray for kings and describing Christ as the only mediator between God and man, in verse 7, Paul reminds us that he was appointed as a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, in faith and truth. Paul's instructions to men and women are grounded in this. The apostle's concern here is with piety and godliness. After telling men to pray together and not be angry and in conflict with each other, he turns to women. In verses 9 and 10, Paul's point is not to instruct women on precisely what to wear, but rather to dress appropriately and modestly. The apostle does not specifically mention tight clothing or outfits that show off skin, but in the Bible, such wear is often associated with call girls and adulteresses, so it should be obvious for women professing godliness to avoid such clothing. Of course, Paul is also not commanding Christian women here to dress like slobs either. We've looked at verses 11 through 14 many times before on this channel, so I'll be brief here. In verse 12, Paul forbids women from teaching or exercising authority over men. He says they are to remain quiet and receive instruction in entire submissiveness. He grounds his argument in creation and provides two reasons. One, Adam was formed first and then Eve. And two, Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived and fell into transgression. 1 Timothy 2:15 is actually the conclusion to our passage. As mentioned earlier, it is extremely important that we get the meaning of this verse right, because it deals with the subject of salvation. With the overarching context of verses 9 to 14 taken into view, verse 15 is much more readily understood. The apostle turns from Eve specifically to woman in general. Even though Paul writes that the woman was deceived in verse 14, he also writes that she can still be saved. Keep in mind that the context here is the subject of feminine good works and feminine godliness. Although a strong prohibition is in place in verse 12, Paul does not write that women are to fill their time by simply being quiet and not teaching. They have important duties to perform. So what does Paul say are these feminine duties? Well, in verse 9, it is dressing modestly, and in verse 15, it is in having children. In the latter verse, Paul is not saying that only Christian mothers are saved. It is a part that represents the whole. Only women can bear children, so it is exclusive to them. Life-giving represents one major aspect of the overarching duties of a woman, which are domestic in nature, such as being a good housewife, a godly house mother, and a pious household manager. Not surprisingly, some have reacted strongly against this interpretation. Some have opted for the translation preserved rather than saved, and argued that women will be spiritually preserved from being deceived by Satan, by attempting to parallel this text with 1 Timothy 5:15. However, this is untenable. The immediate context of 1 Timothy 2:15 is concerned with spiritual transgression, not merely deception. Others attempt to argue that verse 15 is really about the birth of Jesus, but the text says nothing about Christ. Of course, this passage in no way is teaching that we are saved by works. The biblical teaching is clear that we are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. However, though we are saved by faith alone, it is not a faith that is alone. As the Westminster Shorter Catechism teaches us, sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. And for men and women, this dying unto sin and living unto righteousness is done in different ways. Men practice piety by being leaders, providers, and protectors. Just as teaching and exercising authority are tasks exclusive to some men, as Paul mentions in verses 11 and 12, certain duties are exclusive to women only. How do women adorn themselves with good works? Let's review. Verse 9, they dress modestly. Verse 11, they are submissive, and they do not teach or exercise authority over men. Verse 15, they bear children, continue in faith and love, and exercise self-control. The Southern Baptist scholar Tom Schreiner has said, when Paul says that women will be saved by childbearing, he means, therefore, that they will be saved by adhering to their ordained role. I conclude where I began. Kuru women and boss babes are bound for eternal destruction. Their sinful and impenitent desires run completely contrary to Paul's description of a redeemed woman here, and therefore they cannot be truly saved. So if you are a single, unmarried Christian gal who is childless, ask yourself a question. In my thinking, am I more influenced by the Apostle Paul or by Betty Friedan? Do I attempt to adorn myself with good works by seeking a husband and family, being sensible, pure, kind, a keeper at home, and dressing modestly? Or is a domestic-oriented life a comfortable concentration camp, the way Betty described it? It seems to me some people in the church act as if we are justified by being female. These folks sometimes give you the impression that women are immune from sin. Not only is there no criticism of arrogant and prideful women who turn down many, many godly Christian men and seek out only the top guys, but sinful daughters who chase careers over family and children are even encouraged to do so by weak and spineless fathers. In summation, Paul's teaching in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is crystal clear. While egalitarians and some soft complementarians may bark, yelp, complain, and continue to advocate for sinful behavior on the part of women, the scriptures concerning so-called boss babes and career-minded women are 100% clear. The very salvation of Christian women is at stake. This is a verse we simply cannot afford to get wrong. Second-wave egalitarians tell women that a husband and family are chains and shackles, and that the career path is the way to go. Paul says women ought to practice godliness by focusing on a domestic-oriented life that is exemplified by childbearing. And brothers and sisters, Paul is consistent. Turning back now to 1 Corinthians 6, there Paul gives a vice list of individuals who will not inherit eternal life. The malakoi are some of those individuals. The NASB translates this Greek word as effeminate. Dr. Gagnon has rightly pointed out that it is a reference to men who effeminate themselves in order to attract gay male partners. But Zach Garris has convinced me that it means more than that. Malakoi can also refer to soft and effeminate men who are not necessarily gay. It can include, for instance, a man who refuses to work while he sends his wife out to work so they can pay the bills. Obviously, I'm not talking about disabled or elderly or infirm men who need to be taken care of. I mean able-bodied men. So Paul is balanced. Men who act in an effeminate manner will not inherit the kingdom of God, and career women who try to behave like men are not saved. Of course, I would get a standing ovation and a big pat on the back for criticizing men like this. but the fangs will come out in the comments section whenever I touch the sacred golden calf of women. So let's be in prayer for those who continue to enable women in their bad behavior. Let's pray that the Spirit of God will work in their hearts so that they will be bold and have the courage to stand against one of the great idols of our day, women. The sources that I used for this upload are available in the video description below. All right, that's a wrap for now, ladies and gents. If you want to share your own thoughts, be sure to do so in the comment section down below. Thanks for watching, everyone. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. If you like the content here, you can subscribe by clicking on the icon on the bottom right. Then you can hit the bell for notifications. I upload a new video every Wednesday and every Saturday. Have an awesome week, and for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all always. I will see you all in the next video. God's blessings on your week.